Good afternoon. This is Chair Ruth Richardson. Pursuant to House Rule 10.01, I call this remote meeting of the Education Policy Committee to order. The clerk will take the roll for attendance.
Chair Richardson?
Present.
Vice Chair Hassan?
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson, present.
Representative Bennett? Representative Berg?
Present.
Representative Bowe? Representative Christensen?
Present.
Representative Drazkowski?
Present.
Representative Edelson?
Present.
Representative Feist?
Present.
Representative Frazier?
Present.
Representative Jordan? Representative Keeler?
Keeler, present.
Representative Moeller?
Present.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller, present.
Representative Poston? Representative Scott?
Poston, present.
Thank you. Representative Scott? Representative Erdahl?
Bowe is present as well.
Thank you.
Erdahl is present too.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, present.
Representative Bennett? Vice Chair Hassan? Madam Chair, quorum is present.
Thank you. Representative Poston, have you had an opportunity to review the March 7th, 2022 minutes?
I have, Chair Richardson, and I'd like to move them.
Thank you, Representative Poston. All in favor of the Poston motion, please unmute and say aye.
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 Any opposed? The minutes are approved. First up on the agenda today, we have House File 3260. Welcome back to the committee, Representative Hansen. I move House File 3260 to be referred to the General Register. Rep. Hansen, I believe that you have an amendment to get the bill in the preferred form that you would like.
Yes, that is the case, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Members, please unmute yourself to vote on the adoption of the A1 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes, and the amendment is adopted. Members, we've discussed this bill previously in a hearing, so please limit any questions to the amendment or the motion before us. We'll have a time certain vote on the bill referral at 1:10 p.m. Rep. Hansen, do you have any brief comments that you'd like to make on your bill as amended?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just the comments that this language was intended to be included in the original drafting. Having gender included is the right thing to do, and this gets it into the stage that we want in order to move it to the General Register. So thank you.
Thank you. And at this point, we will move to member questions. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just believe that our Human Rights Act covers all of this. So I'm just going to have trouble supporting it because we have the most robust Human Rights Act in the nation. And that should be adequate to cover everything that's included in this. I certainly don't want this kind of behavior going on, but I do honor the Human Rights Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Seeing no other hands, I renew the motion to refer House File 3260 as amended to the General Register. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson votes no.
Representative Bennett? Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Bowe?
Bowe votes no.
Representative Christensen? Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Edelson?
Aye.
Representative Feist?
Aye.
Representative Frazier? Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Representative Mohler?
Aye.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes no.
Representative Poston?
No.
Representative Scott? I'm sorry, was that Representative Scott? Representative Erdahl?
No.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, aye.
Representative Bennett? Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Frazier?
Frazier votes aye.
Madam Chair, there are 11 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 absent vote.
Thank you, Isabel. With a vote of 11 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails and the bill as amended is referred to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Hansen. Up next, we have House File 3554. This is a Vice Chair Hassan bill. Vice Chair, would you like to move House File 3554 to be referred to the Committee on Education Finance?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Members, we will have a time-certain vote on this bill by 1:40 p.m. Vice Chair Hassan, please present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for the opportunity to present House File 3554, an act relating to education, modifying alternative teacher preparation program grant eligibility and appropriating money. This is a very simple bill, and I want to thank Rep. Erickson for being a co-author and invite others to join us. Alternative prep programs help career switchers get licensed to work in teacher shortage areas or for currently licensed teachers to add credentials so they can teach in other areas. In 2017, the Minnesota legislator established the alternative teacher prep policy that we have today and allocated $750,000 grant to support this innovative programs, helping to address teacher shortage in critical license fields like special education and career and technical education, and provide more pathways into the classroom for diverse teachers. Providers are held to the same high standards as traditional higher education programs by the state licensing board. This is the same rigorous multi-year process that all teacher prep providers must complete, whether they are cooperative or a college. The initial grant was successful in helping to add Minnesota's ecosystem of pathways into the classroom, and now there are several established providers in the Minnesota licensing teachers throughout the state, including Lakes County Services Cooperative based in Fergus Falls, Southwest Central Services Cooperative in Marshall, and Learning Disabilities Association of Minnesota in Golden Valley, and Teach Minnesota in the Twin Cities. This bill will simply create an additional grant to help the new program off the ground and provide funding to keep the cost low for future teachers. With that, Madam Chair, I have a couple testifiers and we'll stand for questions.
So we have a number of testifiers. Welcome to the committee. Each of the testifiers will have 2 minutes to speak, and our committee administrator will keep time in the chat and will let you know when you have 30 seconds remaining and when you are also at time. First up on my list, I have Dustin Steenbach. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to speak today in support of House File 3554. My name is Dustin Steenbach. I'm a 5th or 12th grade teacher in Ashby School. We're located in the far western part of West Central Minnesota. I've spent the last 15 of my 16 years in education here at Ashby as a career and technical education teacher, specifically with licensure in agriculture education. I guess the main reason I'm here today is because of my application for additional licensure as a coordinator of work-based learning. Reached the desk of Pelsby actually just on Monday. Because of this, I'm able to say that the option to engage with an alternative teacher preparation program is the reason why I have this option. And a program that was created by the grant, HF 3554, is intended to support and to sustain. I guess the story that I really want to share with you today is that my students at Ashby, as well as the workforce in not only our region, but the state of Minnesota, they really and truly benefit from me obtaining this licensure through this process. If without being a fully licensed coordinator of work-based learning, my students would be in a workplace learning environment limited to basically an agriculture-related setting, and then for 40 hours or less per year. I know there are many instructors who can expand what they do in their programs because of what alternative teacher prep units offer. And these are often very diverse, very experienced teachers who are highly qualified leaders in their districts. These teachers strive each day to bring opportunities to their students in areas such as special education, career and tech ed, healthcare, workplace readiness, and more. Because of the flexibility, affordability, individualized guidance, and support to these alternative teacher prep programs, tier 3 and 4 educators like myself have a pathway to licensure that fits a specific need between portfolio application and traditional teacher prep programs. Because of this, I ask you to support the intentions of House File 3554. I thank you all for your time today, and I'll stay on for questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Martha Moriarty. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Richardson, members of the E12 Policy Committee. Good afternoon. My name is Martha Moriarty. I'm the Executive Director of LDA Minnesota, a nonprofit organization filed under the name Learning Disabilities Association. I've been with LDA since 2001 and have a child with a disability. LDA Minnesota has been serving families across Minnesota impacted by learning differences, learning disabilities, including dyslexia and attention deficits for 55 years. Our Institute for Special Educators prepares teachers for the ABS license and was approved as an alternative teacher preparation program by PELSB in June 2019. We were able to develop the program with the Alternative Teacher Preparation Grant in 2018, and without that support, we would not have been able to invest in the development of the program. As an alternative pathway to teaching, LDA's board and staff are focused on the legislative intent of alternative programs, not only to recruit new special educators to the field plagued by teacher shortages, but also to help recruit teachers of color into the field. This year, our third cohort of teacher candidates includes 55% who identify as Black, Indigenous, and persons of color. We currently have 18 candidates moving through our program, 3 completing this spring and 3 who completed last spring. All of our teacher candidates work full-time in schools while they participate in our program, helping fill much-needed special education roles across the metro area. LDA candidates don't have access, though, to the same resources as those in institutions of higher education. For example, our students can't access federal financial aid or low-interest student loans. Despite our low tuition costs, candidates who work as paraeducators find it difficult to afford without some form of financial assistance. Therefore, we've privately fundraised to help provide scholarship support for our low-income and BIPOC candidates. However, additional funding would allow us to more than double our enrollment to over 40 candidates annually. LDA's goal is to recruit at least 60% BIPOC candidates for each cohort moving forward, and House File 3554 would provide much-needed support to alternative teacher preparation programs like LDA's, who are helping to fill special education positions and recruit teachers of color. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have James Barnett. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Chair, members of the community, my name is James Barnett. I'm the site director for Teach Minnesota, a local PELSB approved alternative teacher licensure program. And I'd like to thank Representative Hassan for carrying this bill, and I'm excited to share more about how Minnesota schools will benefit from more support for alternative teacher licensure programs. I'd like to request that I could share my screen.
Please do.
As we all know, Minnesota students are diverse, while Minnesota teachers are not, and most students can go their entire K-12 experience without having one BIPOC teacher. And furthermore, the supply of teachers in Minnesota is not keeping up with demand. And in order to create strong, nurturing environments for students, we need to better recruit and train diverse and excellent teachers. After legislation passed in 2017 to open the door for more alternative teacher prep programs, we worked with PELSB to get both program and unit approval in special education and elementary education. And we are well on our way to launching our inaugural cohort in June. At our first year, we hope to certify as many as 50 teachers, and in subsequent years, as many as 100 teachers, with the goal of 50% of each cohort being at least being teachers of color. Our program is designed to remove both cost and time barriers to licensure for our fellows, and we are well placed to be a catalyst in the broader change, be a catalyst for the broader change in the ed landscape. Many of our school leaders can identify a person in their building that's a valued member to that community that's serving in a paraprofessional role or a teacher role or a coach or a community or after school program. And they know that they could have an additional profound impact serving as a classroom teacher, but typically cost and time has served as a barrier to them reaching, being able to serve in that role. In addition to paying less than traditional higher education programs, our fellows will simultaneously also work as full-time teachers when they're able to earn a salary as they complete their residency program and receive coaching from our program while they're in the classroom. Our fellows will currently earn a tier two license in the fall and will be eligible to advance to a tier three license once they complete all of their state and program requirements. And here you see a list of the schools that have signed on to partner with us. We are excited about this because this shows the not only the need, but the range of the diverse school options that are looking forward to diversifying their teacher pool and are prepared to support this effort. Currently, 84% of our fellows have school placement sites, and we are looking forward to rounding out that number with a few conversations we have coming up with schools in the area.
And Mr. Barnett, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up with final words, please.
Teach Minnesota is one part of the solution to this complex problem of providing quality teachers to schools, and we're excited about our impact in this space. And although we are fully funded for our first year, we are seeking funding for subsequent years and look forward to being a long-term hub for alternative certification and being a strategic partner for like-minded organizations as we increase the teacher diversity pipeline. So thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for your testimony. Before we move into members' questions, I will just note that we have representatives here from the Minnesota Office of Higher Education, Allies, and Lakes Country Service Cooperative to answer member questions as well. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank Representative Hassan for carrying this proposal. This is initially something that former Representative Jennifer Loon and I carried in 2017, and it has been really beneficial. I want to thank the testifiers for their specific comments about how much this kind of alternative teacher prep program can help move candidates, especially those of a more diverse nature, into the teaching profession. This is just a really, really good program, and Pelsby has gotten on board and made adjustments and change the regulations, but we can really move forward. So thank you very much for this. This is going to be a boon to us.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. Seeing no further hands, Vice Chair Hassan, I'll give you the last word on your bill.
I think by now we learn how to unmute ourselves. thank you, Madam Chair and members. And I want to thank the testifiers for the great information that they shared with us. This is a great bill. Please support. Thank you.
Vice Chair Hassan renews the motion to refer House File 3554 to the Committee on Education Finance. The clerk will take the roll on the bill.
Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson votes aye.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Bowe?
Bowe votes aye.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Edelson?
Aye.
Representative Feist?
Aye.
Representative Frazier?
Frazier votes aye.
Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes yes.
Representative Poston?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, aye.
Madam Chair, there are 18 ayes and one nay.
With a vote of 18 ayes and one nay, the motion prevails and the bill is referred to the Committee on Education Finance. Thank you, Vice Chair Hassan. Up next on our agenda, we have House File 2920, Representative Howard Bill. Representative Howard, welcome back to the committee. I move House File 2920 to be referred to the general register. Members will have a time certain into this discussion by 2 o'clock today. Representative Howard, please explain your bill. I see you're on the call, Representative Howard, but I don't know if you might be muted at the moment. Bear with us a moment while we get Representative Howard connected. As Representative Howard doesn't seem to be available at the moment, let's move on to the next bill on the agenda, House File 2856. This is a Representative Keeler bill. Representative Keeler, would you like to move House File 2856 to be referred to the Committee on State Government, Finance, and Elections?
I would, Madam Chair. Thank you.
So members, we will be ending this discussion by 2 o'clock p.m. Representative Keeler, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I want to start by entering into this space with an open heart and an open mind. As I've said in other spaces, I enter into this space unapologetically Indigenous. I am a proud member of the Hantawan Oyate with lineage to Eastern Shoshone. I've worked 12 years in Indian education and have worked really diligently to address the importance of Indigenous Peoples Day in our communities. This is something that I started in a local effort. The city of Moorhead passed this and recognizes it as a local holiday, along with many other cities across our state and states across this nation. The particular part of this bill that we're talking about in education policy is the fact that what it's saying in the language that we've added into the school holiday statute says that if a school is in session on Indigenous Peoples Day, they would be required to host a minimum of 1 hour of a conversation around Indigenous history, Indigenous current affairs, the beauty of our culture. And I know that we have a lot of conversations and a lot of pushback about adding entire curriculum pieces into our schools. This is really asking for 1 hour of one day to highlight what I feel is a beautiful culture that all students can really learn from. A couple things I want to point out on why it's important to talk about this. I do a lot of education in the community around Indigenous history. And a couple things I just want to point out that a lot of people don't know and why these conversations need to be important in our schools. There are 574 federally recognized tribes on Turtle Island in this United States. 11 of those sovereign nations are in our state alone. Minnesota sits on 100% treaty land. It is our responsibility to understand and recognize the unique relationship and the invaluable relationship that we have with our tribal nations in the past, the current, and in the future. This bill is not designed to be filled with hate. It's actually designed to be built around love, care, compassion, and inclusion. I know that this is going to be a robust conversation. I look forward to that. I just hope that we're mindful
that we have youth watching us, and what we say matters. And in this space, I just want to be really mindful that we are talking about generations that are far further than we even know and understand. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd really like to turn it over to some of our testifiers so that they can tell the story of the importance of why we feel like we need to move forward in this direction.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. We will start with your author testifiers. And just as a note, each testifier has been allotted 2 minutes to speak. And in the chat, there will be time kept, so you will know when there's 30 seconds remaining and also when you are at time. Up first, we have Vice President Shelley Buck. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, committee members, Ambe Tuwashte, Chante Washte, Nabe Chiyujapi, Shelley Buck, Amaki Apie. Good day, everyone. I greet you with a good heart and handshake. My name is Shelley Buck, and I'm the Vice President of Prairie Island Indian Community. Indigenous Peoples Day is important to honor the past, present, and future of Native people. It is important to recognize the impact of colonialism on Native communities that still affect us today. We are invisible in our own ancestral homelands. This invisibility makes Native people vulnerable to continued experiences of prejudice and discrimination. Indigenous Peoples Day celebrates and brings awareness to our cultures, contributions, and resiliency. With this day, we can start teaching the full true history of Minnesota and start to build a bridge between cultures. We have to stop the erasure of Indigenous people and stop this celebration of genocide. This country has been celebrating the genocide of Native peoples for decades. This does damage to Native kids as well as non-Native kids. It gives the perception that this land was barren of people and ripe for the taking, to be discovered, when in reality, it was already inhabited by people who had thriving communities, economies, and cultures. Tribes are focused on changing the narrative within our own communities to ensure future generations never forget who they are and remain guardians of their heritage for generations to come. Despite all the years of federal policies to assimilate or eliminate Native people, we are still here. The fact that I am here before you today is a miracle, or as some people have said, it's an act of defiance, against those policies. There's a saying that if you don't learn from history, you are doomed to repeat its mistakes. Recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day is one way to demonstrate that we have learned from history of genocide and are committed to making sure it never happens again. By passing this bill, you affirm Native histories matter, Native cultures matter, that I, as a Dakota Wia, matter. Pidamaya Yepi, thank you for allowing me to speak on this bill today.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have President Robert Larson. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Ahamitakiapi. Greetings, my relatives. It's our traditional greeting as Dakota people that we believe that all people and things are related. Madam Chair and Committee, my Dakota name is Tatanka Ikchak Tongtong, which very loosely translated means rolling bull. My English name is Robert Larson, and I'm the president of the Lower Sioux Indian community in the state of Minnesota. Changshayapi is what we historically call this area. And I also serve as the chair of the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. Today, I'm here in my official capacity as president of the Lower Sioux Indian community to testify in support of House File 2856. Minnesota has been in the forefront of tribal-state relations, and that's something the state has done right and should be proud of. To counter the harmful narrative that a man, Columbus, who never set foot on North America, of whom documented acts of genocide exist, honored as a hero is hurtful to many citizens of Minnesota, especially Indigenous people. To acknowledge the Dakota as the original caretakers of this land and celebrate our existence through schools is a wonderful step forward for tribal and state relations and honors our state and tribal partnership. It is a day to pause and reflect on our shared history and commitment to work better together. When we know better, we should do better. And this is another chance to do just that, to do better together. The more our young people and the staff that support them know and learn about the true history of our land, the better chance we all have of working together in the future. As for any great undertaking, it's never enough for a person to depend on themselves. So I ask you to receive this in the spirit in which it's offered, as another way for us all to move forward together. Pidame Ado, I say thank you for your time, open minds and hearts on this important and wonderful undertaking.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Dolores Gabbard. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Dolores Gabbard, Imakiapi. Good afternoon. My name is Dolores Gabbard, and I'm here today to testify and support Bill 2856. I am an Indian Education Homeschool Liaison for Moorhead Area Public Schools. Myself and Heather Keeler are the two main contributors to the City of Moorhead's decision on July 22, 2019, to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day on the second Monday of October. Since then, our Indian Education Program has shared ideas and best practices with our district on how they can best implement a celebration of Indigenous Peoples Day across the pre-K to 12 grades. Whether it's through professional development or classroom instruction, there are several ways that districts can observe the holiday. Some of the examples include providing media centers and classroom libraries with current and accurate narratives of Native Americans. There are several recent books available that discuss the boarding school experience. In fact, our district provided lesson plans for an elementary level book about boarding schools that would be implemented in fourth grade classrooms. Some resources school districts can consult with are their Indian education programs and the local Native American community. I'd like to share part of the social media post that my daughter made yesterday, maybe a coincidence. She talks about a classroom exercise that asked students to form groups upon their opinions about controversial topics. One topic being, do you think that Native American mascots are offensive or racist? I'm not here today to get on my soapbox about current issues affecting Indigenous communities. Instead, the takeaway I'd like to leave you with is the way my daughter felt after this exercise. More than half of the class went to the strongly disagree corner. I don't really remember what I exactly felt. I don't know if I was mad, sad, or maybe I was just confused. It felt like this whole class had just told me your culture that you hold so close to your heart does not matter and deserves to be mocked and turned into a mascot. I don't think that the teacher meant to make me feel this way, and I like to think that she wouldn't have asked us this question if she knew how it would have made me feel. I just wish our American education didn't make Native students feel like they don't matter. Native students have a dropout rate that is twice the national average. And so I believe that this bill will require school districts to provide culturally relevant curriculum that will not only benefit the outcome for Native American students, but will also benefit all students. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We have one individual signed up for public testimony, Mr. Radush Uni. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you. My name is Adosh Uni. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota Department of Education. And thanks for the opportunity to allow me on behalf of the department, the commissioner, the governor, and the town governor's support HF 2856. On October 14, 2019, Governor Walz proclaimed the day Indigenous Peoples Day in Minnesota and has done so in all subsequent years. Our state is honored to have the highest serving Native American woman in state office with our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, a member of the White Earth Nation. Recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day has been a stance that the governor, lieutenant governor, and the commissioner are proud to uphold. It is far past due that we as a state elevate, validate, and honor the voices of Native people who were the first residents of the land upon which we now sit. Our schools are not only a place of learning academics, but also understanding how that subject applies to the world around them, the people around them, and their surroundings. Our tribal nations are distinct government bodies, not just our neighbors and community members, whose role in and contributions to our country is deserving of a day of recognition. Native Americans have a long history on these lands, have strong cultural beliefs, and they are an integral part of our country's history, present, and future. NDE believes that a body of people with so much to contribute to our students' learning experience is important to hold space for. NDE's Office of American Indian Education and the Indigenous Education Specialists continue to stand ready to provide schools with information and resources to be able to speak about Native history and culture accurately and holistically. Again, the Commissioner and MDE are happy to support HF 2856, and thank Representative Keeler for her work to elevate the importance of Indigenous Peoples Day. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. At this point, we'll move on to member questions, and I will just note that after this round of member questions, we'll have consideration of Representative Erdahl's amendment. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and my question is for the bill author. First, I'd like to make a statement. I think it's totally appropriate to honor Native Americans, Indigenous people in our schools and have a special day where we focus on that. I think that is wonderful and we should do that. But I'm questioning, why are we replacing another holiday in order to do that? Why not create a special day, perhaps the day the governor named, as a day to do that in our schools? For the bill author.
Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Bennett, for that question. The day that the governor actually does make the proclamation is the second Monday of October, which is Columbus Day. I think this is a national movement. If you'll see, there's at least 10 other states that recognize this. And the understanding that Columbus is not somebody that I think we all agree that is worth celebrating. I will bring to the attention that there are other holidays that celebrate white settlement, and we can continue to have those conversations and those holidays. I think for us, it's that Columbus directly had a negative impact on the start of the genocide. He was a rapist. He was a murderer. We know this from history. Many of the non-natives I talk to don't want to honor and celebrate a man like that, what many people call bad actor. So it's not trying to eliminate the settlers and celebrating, you know, where you all came from. And this is just a movement in the direction nationally that we're moving and locally to make sure that we're making this day Indigenous Peoples Day.
Representative Bennett.
Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you, Representative Keeler, for that. And I totally understand that. I do question the division that this will cause, and I really wish that this were a separate day so we could have this celebrated in a positive way. When we do it in this way, where we're replacing another date or holiday or historical holiday, then we start creating this division and these fights, which we don't need. We all want to celebrate Native Americans and Indigenous people, and I wish it would be done in a more positive way, but I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Bennett, for that statement. I appreciate that you see the value in my culture and the celebration. We're just trying to align this with the national movement, and already states, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Moorhead, Bemidji, Grand Rapids, Detroit Lakes, and Red Wing are already celebrating this holiday on this day. So we would like to move forward with that movement.
Seeing no other member hands, we will move on to the Representative Erdahl's amendment. Representative Erdahl, would you please move your amendment and explain it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A1 amendment. Now, I'm not going to raise any opposition to Representative Keeler's bill. I understand why she's doing this. I've spoken with her about it. I think she is raising some very important issues. But her bill does present us with an opportunity to clarify another holiday. President's Day was meant to commemorate the birthdays of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Their recognition is included in current law as eligible holidays for schools, but has become a day that some choose to recognize all presidents. I want to say that these two men, one who founded our country and the other who preserved it in times of great peril, are accorded due recognition. If schools are in session on designated holidays, current law instructs that a one-hour school program must be devoted to a patriotic observance of the day. Representative Keeler includes what should take place in schools on Indigenous Peoples Day. I want to conform to her instructions by providing similar guidance for President's Day. That shall include on George Washington's role in leading an anti-colonial resistance to imperial power, George Washington's role in establishing a new republican form of government and setting a precedent for the peaceful transfer of power, Abraham Lincoln's role in ending slavery through the Emancipation Proclamation and passage of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and Abraham Lincoln's role as Commander-in-Chief in defeating the Confederacy and reuniting the United States of America, including the role of Minnesota soldiers at Gettysburg. Now, there are three other days, in addition to Indigenous Peoples Day, that could be recognized in this fashion. And Representative Keeler rightly delineates what may be taught on Indigenous Peoples Day. Guidance for other school holidays should also be included. And so today I propose adding Lincoln and Washington. We should also look at adding Martin Luther King and Veterans Day in the future. When I taught, I did devote an hour on Martin Luther King to each of my classes on his birthday. A school in my district, Dassel Cokato, has a Veterans Day program. I know that other schools have this in the state. So in the interest of teaching what really happened in American history, in all history, let's conform Washington and Lincoln to the designs as outlined by Representative Keeler of Indigenous Peoples Day, and at some later time also include Martin Luther King and Veterans Day. So that's my amendment. I'd like a roll call on that.
A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Representative Keeler, your response to the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl. I do appreciate the conversation that we had regarding this bill. I'm going to respectfully decline and ask my members to follow along in that process, because I believe that you're missing a really important piece here. This is to be implemented in the state of Minnesota, and though you want to bring up conversations around Abraham Lincoln, I think it's really a disservice to ignore the fact that President Lincoln was also the president who decided to order the hanging of the Dakota 38 men in Mankato in our state alone. And so unless we're going to have honest conversations around that and lead those as conversations of topics, I think that your amendment doesn't do justice for what we're trying to do here. I would support you supporting another bill in the future to look at all of the school holidays on suggestions that we can do. I provided suggestions because it seems as though in a lot of the conversations we've been in, some people are at a loss of what they could talk about when it comes to Indigenous history. That's why I outlined some suggestions that schools may find helpful in this space.
We've got a member question.
I'd like to, Madam Chair, could I respond to that?
Please do, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you. And looking at the larger picture of this, Representative Keeler, there are things that I've listed that we need to use to include about Washington and Lincoln, but it doesn't exclude things. And, you know, I could go into a debate with you about Lincoln and what happened in 1862, and I'm not going to do that today. But we should not ignore this. What happened in Minnesota in 1862 should not be ignored. And it can be included in this discussion. And by highlighting this, I think what you are suggesting can be brought forward. We have an opportunity here to understand and to explain in a true context what happened in Minnesota in 1862 and in other aspects of Lincoln and Washington's lives. And again, what I've listed includes some things, but it does not exclude other things. And the true history should be taught, and these things should be included. And I think we're missing the point of allowing this to happen if we don't pass this amendment.
Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Erdahl. I would love to engage in a debate in this because I think that the spirit of the nature that you brought it, knowing that we're discussing Indigenous Peoples Day, and if you feel it's important, you write books about the Dakota War. And I guess for me, it was a little bit disheartening that if you're going to give suggestions about Lincoln and that wasn't one of the options, it shows that the spirit of where you were trying to come around Indigenous Peoples Day could have been done in a more inclusive fashion. And I also would say that I think that we can flip through many of our education books and sit in our classrooms on almost any day. And we're learning about the impacts of Washington and Lincoln that they've had. We are not learning about the impacts and the true history of Indigenous history, current and future impacts that we have in our state alone. So you've sat in my office many times, we've had many conversations, and I would love to have this conversation further with you. So allotted.
Representative Moeller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted, I was, you know, really curious why this amendment came about, and I looked at the history of this statute, and it was written in 1959, and so Washington and Lincoln's birthdays were listed in the statute at that time, and so I just don't really understand what the need for the language in the amendment is now, given that that's been in our statutes for so long.
Representative Moeller, is that a question?
That's a question. I don't understand why it's necessary.
Representative Erdahl.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Moeller. Well, sometimes it's just timing. I mean, this was brought up to change that statute. And we looked at it, and basically, Representative Keeler is doing the right thing. If you're going to make this change, delineate how that hour should be taken up. And so you would have in this statute of the holidays, one that is conforming to the hour of instruction that's supposed to happen, and the others don't. So it, because this was brought up at this time, it seemed like a good time to add to it a more robust observance of Lincoln and Washington. And again, I'm thinking we need to do the others too, but this is what we did today.
Representative Moeller, any follow-up?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I guess I have to respectfully disagree. I don't see the need for that since it's been around for so long. And as Representative Keeler said, I think Washington and Lincoln are being taught in our schools on a regular basis. So I just don't see the necessity for it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any other member hands up at the moment. Representative Berg.
Okay, I'm new here to mute. Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Representative Moeller. I think that this amendment is highly inappropriate. We have 364 days of the year that we talk about Washington, Lincoln, and all the other white people in history. And as we sit on stolen land listening to an Indigenous woman tell us that her culture, well, a couple of Indigenous women and men talk about how their culture is being erased and their people are being erased. This amendment is actually highly offensive. And I think we need to pay attention that our history has been the wrong history for as long as our education system has existed. I think we need to spend some time thinking about our responsibility and that sort of making these two men gods of our history after the things they've done to our Indigenous relatives is unnecessary and offensive. So I would urge members to vote against this amendment.
So a roll call was requested, and Representative Erdahl renews the motion to adopt the A1 amendment. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes no.
Vice Chair Hassan?
No.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson votes aye.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Berg?
No.
Representative Bowe?
Bowe votes aye.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Representative Edelson? Representative Feist?
No.
Representative Frazier?
Frazier votes no.
Representative Jordan?
No.
Representative Keeler?
No.
Representative Moeller?
No.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes yes.
Representative Poston?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, no.
Representative Edelson? No. Madam Chair, there are 8 ayes, 10 nays, and 1 absent vote.
With a vote of 8 ayes and 10 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Representative Keeler, I will give you the last word on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for engaging in this conversation. There's a lot of data that we talk about in a lot of spaces. I don't know if you're aware, Minnesota actually sits number one in the nation for removal of Native American children, 17 to 1 in this state. We also have an extremely high rate of murdered and missing Indigenous women. And I think that this all stems back to being invisible in a lot of our spaces. And so I encourage us to look forward on how we can implement this and celebrate and honor other Indigenous people in this state and future generations that we don't even know. Pilamaye, thank you for the time to be here. I look forward to your support in this bill.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. Representative Keeler renews the motion to refer House File 2856 to the Committee on State Government Finance and Elections. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Erickson?
Erickson votes no.
Representative Bennett?
No.
Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Bowe?
Bowe votes no.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Druskowski?
No.
Representative Edelson is excused. Representative Feist?
Aye.
Representative Frazier?
Frazier votes aye.
Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Representative Keeler?
Keeler, aye.
Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes no.
Representative Poston?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Erdahl?
Yes.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, aye.
Madam Chair, there are 11 ayes, 7 nays, and 1 excused vote.
With the vote of 11 ayes and 7 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is referred to the Committee on State Government, Finance, and Elections. Thank you again, Representative Keeler, for your presentation. I'll pause for a moment to see if Representative Howard is now on the Zoom.
I am here, Madam Chair.
Great. So with that, we will move to the next item on the agenda, House File 2920. I move House File 2920 be referred to the General Register. Members will have a time certain to end the discussion on this bill at 2:26 p.m. Representative Howard, please explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and my apologies for missing my spot in line earlier in the committee. House File 2920 is a common sense bill that in one small way helps address a significant challenge facing all of our school districts across the state. As you know, our schools are facing a support staff workforce shortage that is approaching a crisis. The lack of bus drivers, paraprofessionals, substitute teachers, before and after care, school care, custodians, nutrition, it runs the gamut, but though our workforce shortage is hamstringing our districts and limiting their ability to best serve our students. And this bill would, in a small way, help address those shortages for our school districts. Currently, school board members can be employed by school districts, but state law caps the allowable income at $8,000 per year. That cap has not been raised since 2004. And as a result of this cap, we have school board members who work in our school districts that cap out early in the school year, who, but for this, could be filling much needed positions, much needed work. And it also limits candidates who choose to run and serve on our school boards, when the reality is it's a value add for our school boards and our communities when we have folks who are working in the district with our kids, with our community that serve on the school board. And so what this bill would do would be to increase that cap from $8,000 to $20,000. The bill has no cost to the state, and yet helps fix one of the most pressing issues facing our school districts. It has the support of the Minnesota School Board Association and would help districts across the state. And with that, I would turn it over to my testifiers who can provide more specific and better context about how this cap is impacting them and their districts and why this policy is a good step in the right direction.
Thank you, Representative Howard. It looks like you have three author testifiers. Welcome to the committee. I will note that our committee administrator will keep time in the chat. There'll be a notice when there are 30 seconds remaining and when you are at time. Up first, we have Maya Olson. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Ms. Chairman and members of the committee, and Michael Howard, Representative Howard, for introducing this bill. Thank you for your time and attention. My name is Maya Olson, and I am a member of the Bloomington School Board. I also happen to be a substitute teacher in our district for 26 years now, and I have been more than happy to help out my district during the substitute teacher shortage, a crisis felt across the state. I consider this an all hands on deck situation. Teachers, paras, principals, and parents have all let me know how grateful they are for covering classrooms. In addition to needing the help, they appreciate the fact that I am making decisions in the boardroom based on actual experience in the classroom. The same can be said for bus drivers, coaches, or any number of part-time jobs that contribute to the success of a school district. Currently, school board members can be employed by their school district with a salary cap at $8,000. I understand the reason for a salary cap. However, the cap has not increased since 2004. And the need for all hands on deck has increased greatly since then. It is also the first time that receiving a raise actually hindered my ability to help my school district, as caps do not increase along with the pay increases. I have had to cancel teaching jobs lined up ahead of time, realizing that I was approaching the cap due to a slight raise. Canceling on a classroom is never a good thing. This bill would help fix one of the most pressing issues in schools at no cost to the state. Stepping into the classroom can help make better board members, and board members who are able to help their district in such a way would be less limited in doing so. Thank you for your consideration to vote yes to support an increase in the cap for earnings by school board members working to help their school district succeed.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Randy Brewer. Please introduce yourself for the record, Superintendent, and proceed with your testimony.
Let me get my video up for you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Randy Brewer. I'm the superintendent of Winnemac Schools, located in northwest Minnesota, about a mile north of Detroit Lakes on Highway 59, intersecting with Highway 2 between Bemidji and Crookston, so you kind of get a little idea where I'm located. Our school has 450 kids. You know, we come from four different communities, which was consolidated around 1999. And thank you for your time to listen. I think this is a good bill, and I think it would help our small schools up here in northwest Minnesota with a lot of good help. As it was said, you know, statewide districts are facing some support staff shortages. You know, in our case, it's bus drivers, paras, and substitute teachers. We just don't have them growing. We can't get them. It's tougher to, you know, the mileage piece is a big deal. Currently, school board members can be employed by the district, but, you know, they reach their maximum and they can't do any more. This one, you know, this pay has not been increased since 2004 when Minnesota's wage was about $5.15 an hour. Today, it's probably $10.23, and increasing all the time, and that's nearly twice as much as what it was before. So I think school board members make good, trusted employees of their district. They know the district. They know the families. They know the kids. It's a no-cost bill. It's something that can fix some of the problems that we have. I would employ a board member to drive a bus in the morning and maybe do some subbing during the day, but I cannot due to the wage cap. In Winnemac, a driver can make $10,000 $10,380 annually just to drive a morning route. I can't do that with two routes. Our teacher sub is $120 to $150 daily. There's no room for help at this wage. So we have board members, you know, who would like to sub more. They ask, what can I do? So please support the bill. I think it's a good one for right now. Probably could go higher, but I think we can take some steps and increase it to a small amount at this time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Susie Rausch, school board member. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Susie Rauch, and I am a school board member in Lynn, Minnesota. Within our district, I work part-time wearing many hats, including basketball coach, substitute teacher, and other various positions as needed. Much like other schools across the state, our school suffers from a shortage of staff, including cooks, custodians, bus drivers, coaches, and substitutes. It is due to this shortage that I became a basketball coach and began pursuing my substitute teacher license. Without a coach, the basketball team would not be anymore. The school was going to discontinue the program, and our school was in great need of subs, as most of the subs were not comfortable entering schools due to COVID-19 and its restrictions. The current cap hinders my ability to further help my district with our workforce shortage. Presently, we're in need of a head cook, and we were without a custodian for an extended period of time. We have a shortage of paraprofessional substitutes and recently decided to hire a bus service due to our lack of drivers. Unfortunately, with the current cap on maximum earnings, a school board member can only earn $8,000 within their district. I am unable to help within these areas. As of right now, I have earned 75% of my $8,000 allowance, leaving me with only 10 days to fill in as a substitute teacher for this school year. Raising the allowance would provide board members the ability to help within their own district at no additional cost to the state. As a board member, I feel I have been given a unique opportunity to work with students and staff in my own district. I can honestly say that I feel I'm a better employee of the school because I'm a member of the school board. It has created a positive atmosphere with staff, students, and community members that allows me to create relationships beyond those I hold while sitting at the board table. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your testimony. Moving on to member questions and discussion, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Representative Howard.
Please proceed.
Representative Howard, does there have to be some kind of provision in your proposal, which I do support, for the fact that school board members are elected? And all these others to which we're referring are not elected. So did MSBA or anyone mention that maybe there has to be a clarification for those who are elected so that, you know, we're not crossing lines between those who are elected and those who are employed in other ways?
Representative Howard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Erickson, for the question. In the language, I don't think we need to make that change because that's already written into the statute when the cap was put in place. All this bill would do, it basically crosses out 8,000 and puts in 20,000 using the existing statute regarding that issue, if that is helpful.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, I understand that, Representative Howard. I just thought there should be more clarification. But, you know, if the School Boards Association is not going to intervene, I guess there's not a problem. So thank you for answering my question.
Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for Representative Howard, too. I'm reading the bill, Representative Howard, and listening to the testimony. I mean, certainly we need to help schools, find people to do their work and contribute to their success. But if these individuals weren't also serving on the school board, what would that limit be? It wouldn't be 8,000 or 20,000. It would be they could work an unlimited amount in the school district. Is that right?
Representative Howard.
Madam Chair, Representative Draskowski. That is correct. I think what you're hearing from some of the superintendents and others is that they have plenty of open jobs for these positions. They can't find folks to fill them. And that's, excuse me, why this change would help increase the workforce in some of these really critically important and needed jobs.
Representative Drazkowski.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Howard. But, you know, if an individual in that situation simply was not on the school board, they could work in an unlimited fashion. So they don't want to give up their school board position, which they could do, and the school board could fill the position, however statute provides, with someone else. There's a large number of people in the school district, some more than others, and I would expect they could do that. The conflict of interest that exists inherently here, that this part of statute apparently is intended to defend against, I think is problematic. I can think of there's very likely an unlimited number of conflicts that can happen with somebody who works and is employed in a school district and then also serves on the board and makes decisions for the governance of that school district. So I think that's problematic. I think the limit should be zero. I don't think we should have people who are on school boards working in school districts. We maybe want to encourage those people to have someone else fill the school board position and have those people work in an unlimited way in the school district. It's the conflict that exists there, and I haven't dug into this a lot, Representative Howard, but that's a really big conflict of interest for the governance of the school district. If you are being paid by that entity, we see that if we saw this happen in other areas in government, and maybe we do, I don't know, but if we did, it would be the same problem. So for that reason, I'm voting against your bill, but thanks for bringing it today.
Representative Howard.
Madam Chair, Representative Drazkowski, I appreciate the point. I would just make a couple points. One, I think it's a value add for a community and for a school district when employees of that school district are serving on our school boards. They have relationships with the students, with teachers, with support staff. These are folks that are committed to their communities and their districts, and we should want them to be serving on our school boards. And in terms of the conflict piece, you know, we have this cap. I have not heard of issues that exist currently with it. It hasn't been raised in 20 years, and this seems like a pretty reasonable adjustment. And I would also add that this bill did, I was heard in the Senate and did pass unanimously. I was going to mention that in my opening.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to note that there's separation of powers between those who are elected and those who are not. So I don't have the same issues probably as Representative Drazkowski does, although I tend to agree with him. But it does concern me any time that we don't honor the separation of powers between those who are elected and those who are not. So thank you.
Representative Howard, I will give you the last word on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have much to add. I think the testifiers did a better job than me to paint how this is a small but a valuable way that we can address a huge challenge facing all of our districts, and would hope that we could move it forward on a bipartisan basis.
Thank you, Representative Howard. I renew the motion to refer House File 2920 to the General Register. The clerk will take the roll. The chair votes aye.
Chair Richardson, aye. Vice Chair Hassan?
Aye.
Representative Erickson?
Aye.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Berg?
Aye.
Representative Bo?
Oh, votes
make sure
aye.
That our community won't take a back seat to anyone in San.
Representative Christensen?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Edelson? Excused. Representative Feist?
Sorry, aye.
Representative Frazier?
Frazier votes aye.
Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Representative Keeler?
No.
Aye.
Representative Mohler?
Aye.
Representative Mueller?
Mueller votes yes.
Representative Poston? Representative Scott?
Dean wants that bar.
I'm sorry, Poston, aye.
Thank you. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Erdahl?
Aye.
Representative Wasilewicz?
Wasilewicz, aye.
Madam Chair, there are 17 ayes, one nay, and one excused vote.
With a vote of 17 ayes and one nay, the motion prevails and the bill is referred to the general register. Our next committee meeting will be Monday, March 14th, and there being no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.